We're in the book of Amos.
So if you have your Bible there, turn to the book of Amos. We sort of summed up chapter 1, and then we're going on to chapter 2 this evening. But chapter 1 of Amos, just want to just sort of review it a little bit. Amos was writing to what part? The northern 10 tribes, the southern 2 tribes? 10 to the north. That's right, writing to the northern tribes. You've heard with Tekoah, as it says in chapter 1, verse 1. And he has a number of things. There are 8 different times he talks about where 2 transgressors, or 3 transgressors rather, and 4 were punished. In verse 3, what country does he start with? Verse 3, 1-3, Damascus, all right, the head of Assyria. And then in verse number 6, what's the second one?
Gaza,
all right, the Gaza Strip. And in verse number 9, who's the third one? Verse number 9 of chapter 1. Tyrus, all right, and that's up on the coastline of Israel, the case of North Tyre. And so all these different surrounding countries, for 3 transgressions, for 4, I will not pardon, not turn away the punishment. The fourth one in verse 11 is whom? Edom, right? The Edom is a surrounding country. And then the fifth one in verse number 13 is what? Ammon. Then go to chapter 2, and in the sixth one, and verse number 1 is whom? Moab. And then we see in the fourth, verse 4, what's the seventh one? Judah. And then the last one in verse 6, Israel. Let's take a look at Amos chapter 2. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Moab, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. But I will send a fire upon Moab. It shall devour the palaces of Kiriath, and Moab shall die with tumult, with shouting, and with the sound of a trumpet. And I will cut off the judge from the midst thereof. I will slay all the princes thereof with him, saith the Lord. So here's Moab. It's to the east of Jerusalem. Jerusalem up there, south and east. Moab right here. Edom is down here. Moab is here. Tyre is up here, and so on. And so these are the judgments. So Moab is close by to both Israel and Jerusalem, the northern tribes and also the southern tribe. And you will not turn away the punishment. Does God punish justly or unjustly?
Justly.
Does he always punish, however? Now, if in the case of a saved person, who does he punish? If we're saved, who bore our punishment?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. In the sense of punishment, see? These others, there's severe punishment. Those that are lost, they go to hell. Yes, Anna?
God also chastises
his children. Yes, he does chastise us, which is different than punishment. Punishment is severe. Punishment is like hell or something. When we're in Christ, he bore the punishment due us. That's we can be in him, saved and born again. But the punishment of the unsaved and the lost, it's a very severe thing and so on. And we remember, what did God do to Moses when he wanted to talk to him when he was in the wilderness? Where did he place him so that he wouldn't be killed as the Lord passed by? Where? A cleft of the rock, sheltered. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is for the believer. He's our shelter from the wrath of God. Without him, we're in judgment. We're in judgment of the wrath of God, all kinds of punishment in hell. But in him, we can be safe. So the Lord will punish, he will judge, because he burned out the bones, because he burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime. He had some serious things that he did. And in verse 2, he's going to send a fire, devour the palaces, and they will die. And then cut off the judge in verse number 3. What is the duty of a judge? What should be the duty of a judge? Pardon me? To judge things, to weigh the matters, to see if it's right and wrong, and so on. And he's going to cut off the judge so there'll be no one that's going to be equitable. Yvonne?
God is future, Father's future, and
I think this is what is going to be taken. It's going to be future as far as when Amos wrote it. Yes, and he wrote it. What is it? the near future. He wrote it, remember in verse number 1, he wrote in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, that's the Jeroboam II, and Joash, king of Israel. Now, the whole historical picture of Amos is found in 2 Kings 15. That's where we see it. 2 Kings 15 is the background. Azariah, or Uzziah, as he's called.
How do you know that when you're reading the Bible?
Pardon me?
How do you know
when
you go to 2 Kings?
Well, you know, other than the fact that it says in the days of Uzziah, you go back in 2 Kings, it talks about Uzziah. So you just figure that 2 plus 2 equals 4. So that's one of the things. Now, sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know exactly, but people have to figure out all the details. And Isaiah 15 is where this came. Yes, Dan? What?
And you write 2 Kings 15, 1. Chapter 1, verse 1.
That's good. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Amos. That's right. You put it for cross reference. You can see where that is. And that. And then. So. Notice in verse 3, the judge is going to be cut off from the midzone. Let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Judah, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments. Their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. And I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes. And number, verse number 4, questions at bftbc.org. You want to email us, questions at bftbc.org, or call us at 856-261-9018. Tell us you're listening and have a question or comment. Yeah, Vaughn?
I want to ask you a question. This is the Messiah. This is the same Messiah. Isaiah.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, they must have been fairly contemporary, about 826.
No.
No, no question is the wrong question. Sometimes it reveals our ignorance, those of us who want to answer it. But, yes, you got a question about Dan?
I think they
comment?
Were, if since we have Isaiah seen his vision in Isaiah chapter 6.
Yes.
When Uzziah was living, and we
mm-hmm.
have your Amos talking about.
In the year that King Uzziah died, that's how the Lord high lifted up. This same Uzziah. Yes?
With the prophets, you have to study them because they overlap each other.
Yes, they do.
And, Isaiah's around 700.
Mm hmm. 700, this is 800, or 787. This is close by.
A lot of the prophets overlap.
Right. Right. Tammy?
Isaiah was the king that had leprosy.
Yes.
And he lived for 52 years, but his son really ruled kind of in his place. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really able to rule.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he's not there
with a job. Let's see. Yeah. Azar, let's see.
Isaiah 1, verse 1, it says, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, he saw concerning the
Jerusalem
in the days of Uzziah, Jotham,
Ahaz,
and Hezekiah, king of Judah.
Yes, Jotham over Judah. Apparently Jotham was that's in chapter 15 and verse 32. Probably he was the one that succeeded Azariah, or Uzziah. Okay? So notice in verse number 4, why the Lord's going to punish Judah. It seems like he's going to punish Judah more than Moab or more than these other nations. What is the reason for his punishment here in verse 4?
Well, the light that Judah...
The light that they had, what did they...
They despised the law.
They despised the law of the Lord. Did they know the law of the Lord? Yes, God revealed that to them. Did Moab necessarily know the whole law of the Lord?
No.
Well, these heathen nations, or Tyre, or these other places? But Judah did. Does God hold to a higher standard if we know and do not, rather than if we don't know at all? Now, all are going to be punished, whether they know or don't know. But if you know and don't do, that's the more serious to see how God is coming closer and closer and closer. He names all these other nations that he's going to judge, and all of a sudden, he's talking to Israel, which is the northern tribes, says, now the southern tribes are Judah. I want to get them too. And probably as he's preaching to us, said, well, he's going to miss us. We're going to be as free, Israel. See, it gets closer and closer and closer in his judgment. Turn away from the punishment because they despise the law and have not kept his commandments. Now, what else is against Judah in verse 4? They lie. Their lies cause them to err. How can lies cause us to err? Explain that to me.
We can go back to Genesis 3,
right,
where Satan tells Eve that God said that you shall not die.
All right. So that's Satan's lie caused Adam and Eve to err. How can our own lies cause us to err? Their lies cause them to err. How? Explain that to me.
They're saying there's nothing wrong with homosexuality
today, and the
Bible tells us that there is.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lie right there.
And
it's causing people to err.
All right, and so if a person thinks there's nothing wrong with them, they err because of their own lies. We had a camp situation. Our shipper, Alan, went to camp and had these young people, about 150, the South Korean people, and the pastors invited this man to speak. One man came to speak, and he didn't have too much to say, and he had a friend to come with him, and the friend was an ex-homosexual, and a horrible thing for the South Koreans. And the pastor, the main pastor that they had visiting, which was a very wrong, theologically haywire and cement things, he says, don't you ever speak against homosexuals. Told these young people, nothing, you know, don't speak against them. Probably the two of them, who knows what they were together, but he had a man and his buddy. They were there, and when you do speak against homosexuals, what's going to happen with the hate line, hate the bill? What's going to happen to us if we do? We're in jail, fine. Yeah, Bill?
Another line of apostasy is coming from many of the churches today. They are not crying out against abortion.
Yes.
Abortion is murder.
Abortion is murder, absolutely.
And the churches should be outraged.
Uh-huh.
And Obama is been making it easier for abortion, funding,
overseas,
they're encouraging abortion.
Mm-hmm.
The church should be screaming against this. This murder.
And what does dear Obama and his pack have in store for us who do cry out against the Bible?
Go to jail.
Can't even preach the Bible. See, we're living in serious times. We got to pray for our nation and pray for the Senate and the House, the President, all the executive, to hold them back, see? Yeah.
And then the preachers, the Bible-believing preachers, have to start preaching America.
That's right. They got
to preach. To whom much is given, much is required.
That's right. Bill?
They have to start speaking out against abortion.
See, I've never stopped speaking against it. See, if it's something, maybe, see, the point of it is, just because a law is made, we don't then all of a sudden speak out because, you know, against it. We keep it going, what we always talk about. See, we should have a consistency, and we should not have to change anything. We've always been. But he's not only against the abortion of the babies, to kill the babies. What did Senator Obama do as far as a vote on a certain bill after the little baby was born alive? What did he vote? Partial birth? And after that baby was born, what did he... What did he say there?
So many days, I'm not sure if this was the one or not, but so many days after the actual birth.
So what happened to this situation? The baby was born alive. He voted for the bill to kill that baby, even if he's born alive, see? We've got a, pardon my expression, we've got a killer on our presidency staff. He's the president. He's for killing babies. Yes, John? Yes.
Adultery today is completely acceptable.
Yes, right.
And I mean, that's completely wrong, too.
Adultery, fornication, yes, anyway. And we start preaching against adultery and fornication, there we put in jail also. Because, yes. That's against a certain group. We don't have alienated a group.
And I mean,
what about Muslims? We preach against Muslims. What's against religion? We put in jail for that. Any apostasy, see? Apostate Protestants or Catholics, horrible, we put in prison. See, that's a hate. Yeah, brother? What work for us?
I come back to my
point. Okay. Yeah, Dan?
I've talked too much
But this word shamar, keep. That's when you have a negative perfect tense. Does that mean they were predetermined to the point of completely abandoning keeping God's law? I mean, the perfect tense is action fully completed in the Hebrew, right?
Yes, that's right.
And so when they've not kept his commandments, because they were fully purposeful in their mind to the point of never wanting to keep the commandments.
I think you could read that into it, Dan. I would certainly think you could read that into it. They had a mindset which was against. As our president and his followers, Ralph Emanuel, for example, swearing up a troop, just cussing. He's forever killing all. See, he's the one that's the chief of staff, see? And he's evil. He's foul. He's a foul mouthed. In fact, even Obama, the president, one time said, when he said about mother, now he doesn't use that word just in a regular way, see? He's got some other word attached to it, see? Because of his foul mouth.
I think his parents are Orthodox Jews. No, his middle name is Israel.
Is that right?
Emanuel Israel.
Is that right? Rob Emanuel.
His brother won a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. Now, not only, talking about lies causing us to err, not only is our president in favor of abortion, killing babies, he's in favor of the homosexuals, June, the whole homosexual weekend, he's adding up to all of them, but also he's for killing old people. Why? How? How's he going to do that? Too much money. Exactly. If this bill goes through, it's got a portion in there that you have a council. Well, the council is how to best die. See, in other words, here's what: if you want to die, it's going to cost a lot of money to keep you alive. Maybe it's a hip replacement, maybe it's heart stroke. But here's how you can do. See, you don't have to eat so much. And they're counseling how to die a nice death. That used to be called euthanasia, pleasant death. Now I'm old enough to be ready to die, but I'm ready to meet the Lord. But all these older people, see, it's horrible. See. I hope they stop it.
And that then it will be the people that are insane.
Oh, yes.
And then it will be the people that are retarded.
Right. Exactly. They won't get any help either.
That's what
they did in Nazi Germany. Exactly, Nazi Germany. Yeah, Bill?
That's what I was just about to say.
Yes. Exactly. And we're talking about now, because we're talking about the president, if that hate bill and everything else, we'd be closed down, sent to prison, been fine, see? But truth is truth. Anna? Okay.
The Bible issue, Satan questioned God, and now all these people are saying that, the King James, you can't understand it, when in actuality it has a better readability than any of the other words.
That's right. Uncle Don said so. He wrote about it, didn't he? All right, yeah, go ahead.
We're old enough to think that whoever thought 30, 40 years ago, that America would come to take a sanction.
Yes.
54% of Americans believe there's nothing wrong with homosexual marriage.
Yes, horrible. Horrible indeed.
And I have an old preacher's book on Amos, Minor Prophets, that he was talking about God bringing judgment on America. He said, if it to Israel, let's do it to America.
Absolutely.
A Gentile nation.
That's right, absolutely. Well, this verse number 4, we got a lot out of that. Yeah, Dan, I'm sorry, go ahead. Questions at bftbc.org. Okay.
Did you give my boss an email?
Pardon me?
Did you give my boss an email I sent to you?
I think I did, but I don't remember. What was it, Dan?
Their fathers have walked. Again, walk here is a perfect tense, is that right?
All right.
So they're following, I guess, a determining thing. You both, I guess, the kid has kept Shamar there, is and kept his walk. I don't know what walked is.
Halak, I think it's Halak.
Number
4.
As well, right?
Yes.
And so, it's a generational thing. If they've not kept it, they've determined it, and it's fully completed to the point of not completely disregarding the law, and they're erring just like their fathers have, and their fathers have completely gone off the track, fully.
That's good, Dan. Well, when people follow their fathers and their fathers have sinned, who's responsible for the sin of the sons and children? Everyone is responsible. Can you blame your papa and mama and so on?
No.
Do people blame their mothers and fathers? They do, some of them.
The words of them, they go back to three or four generations. So.
The sins, these are the sins. So. But
we're still responsible for our sins.
Be sure your sin will find you out, Bill.
It's very common practice today that when somebody does something wrong and they get caught, somebody else caused it.
Yes.
Always point the finger towards somebody else. People have got to be responsible themselves.
Anybody ever say that because of the housing that I'm living in and the conditions, that's the reason? It's always something external.
Yeah. You know, even somebody who commits murder, somebody else is to blame, they caused me to do it or something like that.
Yes. But each one of us must give account to our own selves. It's true that fathers and mothers and ancestors can influence worse bad to us, but does that mean we have to follow them?
No.
We don't have to follow them. Never follow. So the lies, their lies have caused them to earn out. Judah had a lot of good kings, didn't they? Think of Hezekiah, think of Josiah, think of Joash, all these, a lot of good kings.
Eight good kings.
Eight what?
Eight. 20 bad kings in the north.
In the north, yes. And so they had a lot of truth. They had a lot of prophets preaching to them. Yeah, Bob?
Dan told me that Israel didn't have any good kings.
That's right, he said. That Israel always bad things. I think they're about 19 or 20 in the north, 19 or 20 in the south. Go ahead.
I can't.
So in verse number 5, God's going to send a fire upon Judah, divine the thousands. When did God judge Judah?
Babylonian.
See, if Assyria was about 700 BC and the other about 600 roughly BC, 100 years later, but Babylonia came from the Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar came over there from Babylon all the way over here, and so now did a 500 or so roughly, 600, about 600, yeah, 600 for the Babylon, about 700 for the other, roughly.
There were three invasions.
Three invasions. No. Yeah, the 700 was Assyria, 700 BC, then 100 years later, about 600 BC was Babylon.
Judah.
Yeah, Judah. That's right.
And then 598 and 586 was the final one.
The different deportations in the Jews.
Yeah,
three deportations. But I just round them out of 600 in my own mind, 700 here. But now, did Assyria try to get Judah? Now, Babylon finally got him, but did Assyria try to get Judah in captivity? Yes, they did. Did they succeed?
No.
No, the Lord drove them back, drew them back, see, and God just, I think that, isn't that the time when they're all dead bodies? They woke up and they're all dead men. How can you wake up and be dead? That's what the scripture says. They're all dead. So Babylon finally took them. Then in verse number 6, 3 transgressions and 4 for Israel. And here it gets right down to where Amos is preaching to his own people.
Verse 5, verse
5. Go back if you want, then. Go on.
I have just read about Isaiah 1. Now, all the judgments and all the heartache that God had on that coming or what has happened, that's what I can't figure out what's happening. It's coming or happening. I don't mean in our day, but yeah. I mean at the time.
Well, Isaiah was a preacher to Judah. Was he not?
Yes.
Way before anything happened, see. Jeremiah was a preacher also, way before, see. And they were trying to. Isaiah was way far away, and Jeremiah was very close, as far as chronology. Many years before the judgment came, he preached way before then. Jeremiah, very close. In fact, in Jeremiah's time, Nebuchadnezzar came down, and Jeremiah and Daniel were together. They went into captivity. They were living about the same time in some areas. To Egypt, but they were about contemporaries, what I mean. Jeremiah and Daniel, were they not?
Yeah, because Daniel mentioned Jeremiah's writing.
Yeah, but Jeremiah, going different places, but they're the contemporaries time-wise, that's what I mean. Time-wise, Jeremiah was just before the avalanche, just before he go over the falls. And Isaiah, way back here, as the boat was going over the fall, but Jeremiah, just exactly before they went over, and predicted it very, very skillfully.
Isaiah's 100 years.
Yes, 100 years.
He named Cyrus.
Yes.
Cyrus is even
Yes. So in verse number 6, gets right down to Israel, the one that Amos is preaching to, and 3 Corinthians chapter 4, will not turn away the punishment. What is their sin in verse 6?
The soul of the righteous and so forth.
What would that imply? What do you get when you sell people?
Slavery.
Slavery, absolutely. They got rich from it. What's that in? So, what did the slaves do when they brought over their fellow slaves to this country? Did they get any money for them? Sure they did. Remember, as my wife keeps reminding me, it wasn't whites that brought the slaves, it was the slaves themselves. The blacks sold them themselves. Throw them over to white people, see? So they were traitors. The blacks were traitors to their own people, see? They want to make a little bit of money, see? And so they brought them over. Horrible, horrible situation. And so these people sold the righteous for silver.
So the blacks conquered black Africans.
Yeah.
And then when the white trade Portuguese first started coming, then what they did was sold them to the Portuguese and the English and brought them over here.
Brought them over here, that's right.
At the war, the African, might be an African tribe or nation that would conquer another nation, and they would take the slaves. And
sell them.
They would, eventually, the Portuguese came and start selling them, but the slavery in Africa to another African was much different from America, because they always looked at him as his brother, but the slavery in America was just horrible. Because if you compare the slavery in Israel, after for how many years? He had the freedom.
That's right.
He had the freedom. But in America, you didn't get your freedom.
Yes.
That's a paper Dr. Banks put out, the Congress, of the biblical slavery and with America.
That's right.
Even in the Roman Empire, you get your freedom back. At one time, the Roman Empire had more slaves than it had citizens, Roman citizens.
Yeah. Lots of slavery in the Bible. Onesimus and Philemon. Slave, or that's what was a slave. So, what did God say about the Old Testament Israelites? Who could they enslave and who could they not enslave? Remember in the Old Testament, whom did God say they could make slaves, but whom they said they could not make? What was that? They could not enslave their own people. You could not make an fellow Israelite a slave. You get an unsaved, a lost, a heathen enslaved, but God still wanted to treat them right, not to be, but they can't do. That's right, the Old Testament. Say, no, you can't Israel if they follow the law. See, if they follow what God wanted to do. Yes, Aunt?
And they had to release them.
They had to release them at a certain time.
Jubilee
year. 50th year.
They had to give them money.
Yes, and even after 7 years, even some of it.
They had to free.
Well, that's right, that's right. You couldn't charge interest to your fellow Jews. You couldn't use usury, see. You made a loan. So there's certain rules. Yeah, Anna, you had something there. Yes, they could capture the slaves in battle. That's right, and they did. Well, whatever the color, I mean, whatever nations they were, I don't know what colors, it doesn't make a difference. They just captured, they were the servants. Some of them were white, absolutely. What is it? The Greeks, the Romans, that's right. It's fair. And then we have so-called white slavery today, which is prostitutes and dealing with people and souls and people selling them and making them prisoners and for dope and for sex and other things. Anna?
Isn't that true and often in the New Testament where there were servant appears that the woman behind the doula, so that we are slaves to God?
Yes.
The lost are slaves to Satan.
That's right. The Greek word doulos, she's pointing that out. That's just like a slave, a servant. The Greek word toulos is a slave. Simply doing another's will. Not sound out our own, see.
Then in Ephesians 6, Paul mentions the husband roles, they gets down to the servants, and then he reminds the servants and the slave master.
Yes.
You know, that they're brothers in the Lord.
That's right. They sort of treat them right.
One day you're going to have to answer either the slave or the master to Christ.
I remember when I had a Negro back there in the back of the church one time, and I was in the book of Romans somewhere, and I talked about this, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, and I explained what servant meant, doulos, slave. And then I said, I believe in slavery, scriptural slavery to the Lord. Not the physical slavery, but the do love. We're to be a slave to whatever the Lord Jesus says to me. I've got to do it. See, I'm bound to him. Never saw the man again. He's left there and came back. But anyway, I'm just trying to be honest. I mean, I'm defining the word. I despise the slavery that we had in our country. Don't get me wrong on that. But to Christ, we're servants to the Lord. We should do what he says always. Hey, brother?
Yeah, Paul calls himself a bond servant.
That's right, a bond
also,
servant.
In Exodus 21st chapter, is a beautiful, where at the end of the 7 years, the master releases the slaves. And during that time, he gave him a wife and children, but he couldn't take them.
That's right.
And then he said, well, rather leave my wife, I want to be your slave. And
that's
he
right.
sent him down to the temple and nailed a hole to his ear before
right.
the priest, and he would seal it.
That's
and that
right.
meant he was a slave for life to the master.
That's right. So he didn't want to leave his wife and his children. Stay right there.
The master gave it to him.
And that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who could go free. He said, no, I'm going to stay and go to be. And all the served, all the saved people will be a part of my family. And so he didn't escape. Remember what the Romans suggested? Get down off the cross and save yourself. No,
right.
he stayed. And in order that we might be saved by faith in him. It's a good picture.
And then
good
he always slept at the master's door, so he could always hear the master's voice. And so for the Christian, our heart, our ears should always be attuned to the Lord.
Amen. Absolutely.
But Thanksgiving, the wife and the children, that was a way of making somebody safe.
No, it wasn't. No, he can have his freedom.
He can have his freedom.
Clothes and money.
Sure.
But under the law, if the master gave him the wife, he had children, they belonged to the master.
Right.
But he was free to go.
That's right. He can go. Yeah.
He can go.
Absolutely.
But
if he loved his children, if he loved his wife,
yeah,
he stayed. Well, but some people hired don't love their children, don't love their wives. Have you ever heard of husbands don't love their wives? Have you ever heard of husbands don't love their children? See, there's some hard-hearted husbands.
But
of course, I've never had any hard-hearted wives.
Christ took upon the seed of Abraham, he became a man for life.
That's right.
Go back to what he was before.
That's right.
So we have a man in heaven.
That's right. So
I want that illustration.
Notice this, verse number 6. Selling the righteous for silver. We were at the dentist today, and I took my wife over for, she had a little cap or whatever, crown, whatever you call those things. She had the final thing. She's all capped up or crowned up. She's now a queen, crowned with something. And the secretary was there, the whatever you call those people, the secretary, receptionist, okay. Nice lady. We like the lady very much. In fact, that's why we go to that particular dentist. The dentist is fine, too, very nice. We went to another dentist. The receptionist was horrible, just a terrible, terrible thing. But anyhow, she was talking to another patient, and she quoted a scripture, but she didn't quote it right, because they were talking about paying the bill and the silver. And she said, well, money is the root of all evil. And when everybody left, I quietly went to, I straightened out, what does the scripture in James say?
The love of money.
The love of money. She said, that's right, that's put it right, that's exactly right. And Anna? Well, she didn't know what the quote rate was. It's normal people, they do quote that money's rude. No, it's not the love of money. See, have all the money you want, don't love it, don't search anything. But these people here, they sold the righteous for silver. See, they love money more than righteous people, enslaved them, and the poor for a pair of shoes, just for something you get out of it. See, yes.
And also, Anna, you can think that the Lord had your grandfather there to help her.
That's right.
And
look,
actually,
she was very glad. I didn't try to scold her. I was just trying to. She said, "That's right. That's what it really means."
So if you had an opinion and went to that dentist today, you'd have missed out.
That's right. I didn't try to scold the lady. She's a dear lady. I like her very much. All right, let's read that verse number. Yeah, Anna.
That's your time. There was not wasted.
That's right. It wasn't wasted. I was studying too for. Sermon for a week from Sunday, too. reading and studying. All right, so let's read verse 7, 8, and 9 together. That pan after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go into the same maid to profane my holy name, and they lay themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by every altar, and they drink the wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet destroyed are the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and is as strong as the oaks, yet I destroyed his fruit from above, and his roots from beneath. All right, so these in Israel not only sold the legs for silver and the poor for precious shoes, but they pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek. So they disrespect the poor and disrespect the meek. What should our position be in regard to meek people or defenseless people and poor people? What should our attitude be toward these people that are weaker than we are? Should be helpful. We should be comforted. We should try to encourage them, give them things of the Lord, compassion for them, give them the gospel, preach for them, and take care of whatever we can do. And so these people, well, for the Christian, for those that are saved, that are poor and weak and meek, the church and the believers seek to help them. The unsaved, as much as we can, but if we spend all of our money on the unsaved, then we can't have the gospel preaching out for the missionary field. God has not called us to have a social gospel to all the lost. He's a personal gospel. He wants us to preach to the ends of the earth the gospel of Christ. And as much as lies in us, the fellow believers are part of our family, we're saved people. If we can, we help them in their need, and that's what we try to do. But we can't certainly do as the liberals and the modernists. We run out of money, there's no gospel. They don't care about the gospel of salvation. They don't believe it. See, another quarrel.
I was going to say, we go back to Ruth. When they were gleaning the fields, they had to leave the corners of the board. God said, remember that.
Remember them, that's right. Yeah, Ma?
Rick Warren's pushing that big missionary.
Yes.
Doing work. This
is the social type of things. And,
yeah.
Not too much gospel, but social. Yeah, Ma?
But we need to tell people, you know, like people come to the door, people that come here,
I know. We've gotten stung from. Maybe you never got stung, but I tell you, we after two or three, we vowed never to be taken in again. I tell you, one of them that got took us in, the worst, sat right there in the back chair, came to the service. He wanted us to take him to a drugstore or something and get him something. Just absolute lying through his teeth. But my wife and I, now she told me, never get taken in again. She's always mad at me for being taken in. You know, she was taken in too, right? We drove them. He not only drove them to get the stuff, he wanted to go to a specific drugstore in Cherry Hill, quite a few miles away. We had to drive and drive and go. I tell you, that's interesting. But we thought he was telling us the truth. It's like the man that came to the door one year and asked for diapers and saw him for his baby, money for diapers. He came back the next year for the same child with more diapers. Mom, what'd you say, honey, to that? She finally woke up to the same guy.
He probably forgot he was here.
And then when she confronted him, but the way of the meek.
Can you give people money that they want to go someplace and give them money? You know, they need you to see them and give them money. And you don't know what to do.
Yes.
I mean, how are you supposed to?
Yeah.
But in the olden days, when they were tramps, I don't know what they called tramps.
I guess.
They were honest.
Yes. They would work at your store. They would work the lawn and do things.
I remember
that. Well, I remember the last one that got taken in, and I was the lady that was there in the place we were eating supper. She was in a car. So I had to get into my car, and she said, why don't you give me some money? I had to go across the way to do this. And I said, what in the world? It sounded good. I didn't know what she wanted. Probably for gas. She wanted to get some gas. She was going to have a baby. She was pregnant. She had to get some gas. And like a... I don't know what I gave her. I gave a $5 bill, whatever, but I'm sure she did something other than that. I don't know. But we try to help when we can, but we can't do it continuously. But to the believers, we try to help the believers. When there's a need, we help them. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Like the poor saints at Jerusalem. Remember, that's the poor saints at Jerusalem. Paul had an offering for them. Yeah, Hannah?
Well, perhaps a better solution would be to you know, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee.
That's right. In the name of Jesus, rise up. And that's good. And that's exactly what we can do and should do. But to the saints. All right, so notice in verse number 7, they go into the same maid. So here's the father and his son. Sexual relations, it's just a horrible thing. Whether one is married and one is incest or whatever it is, Yvonne, and then question. Probably. Could be part of it. That's what they did at the temple prostitutes.
It sounds like 1 Corinthians 5.
First Corinthians about incest. The father, the father's wife. Terrible. There's nothing. And Israel, did Israel know better than this? Did God ever tell him not to do this? Did he ever give a commandment about this? What's the commandment?
Thou shalt not
see the... Do I cover the neighbor's wife or commit adultery or whatever? Okay. Anything. So all these things. To profane my holy name. Oh, Tammy, excuse me.
Yes.
Somehow.
Okay. The Lord still blesses the holy
line. Trust of the Lion of Judah. The Lord, from Judah came the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. But he went into this prostitute, this Ur. Ur was the son of Judah. Yes. His daughter, that's right, his daughter. No, she dressed as if she was a prostitute, and she wasn't, but she took off whatever they wore. It was like a prostitute wore. Yeah, Brother Cora?
I was going to say, at the end of that verse, the profaning my holy name, and it's just like Paul talked to Corinthian church, said, the Gentiles don't even do this.
Yes.
His father's wife.
Exactly. It's not even once named among the Gentiles. So, what is it? So we're talking about Judah?
Yeah.
Well, no, we're talking about 1 Corinthians 5. The man should have his own father's wife. Yeah.
Right.
No, in the Judas case,
right.
Judah promised the son,
right.
And then he lied. He didn't give the son because her husband had died.
But she wasn't
married. No, that's right. Well, that's right. But so,
but it's a law that they call in Israel the next son took the wife.
Right. And she's supposed to get this next, and he didn't give her the next son. So she had a trap. There were two sons. One died.
Three sons. The first husband died. The second son got slain. The third son, Judah, was old enough at the time.
One was Ur, one was Onan, wasn't it? Onan and Ur, are those two? Oh, okay, go ahead. Unnamed sons.
No, they have names. All three of them have
okay.
names. They all three have names. Okay, we have son number.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
The point is, they were first husband died.
Right.
So there weren't any children, like we mentioned the law.
Yeah.
The
brother was to marry to raise up the son.
The brother was the firstborn was to be the older brother's son. Even though he was supposed to have a name to inherit his older brother, the second son would be his son, of a sort.
Mm-hmm.
The first brother died, so this was Judas' son. His first son died. Second son, guy was displeased with the guy, killed him. He did marry Tamar. And then the third son was too young at the time to get married. But as soon as he was old, pardon me?
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
Since Susie was of age, he should have been given.
Yeah,
was this not sure? Sure or something?
I thought one of the sons wasted his seed on the ground.
That was Onan. Onan,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So,
one died of a natural death, and one died in judgment.
Judgment, that's right.
They both died. It's imperfect.
Yeah. Both evil. They were evil. Yes, they were evil. So, getting back to verse number 7, to the same maid, to profane my holy name. What does it mean to profane God's name? Make it common, all right? And what does make his name common? What should we not do? We name the Lord in vain. It makes it profane. It makes it common. It profanes his holy name. And that's what the people do all the time. Not only older people, but younger people, little kids. Use God's name in vain all the time. And on the television, anywhere. I was listening to different programs, and I sit there and I say, well, first blasphemy. Second blasphemy. Some of these programs, they just either don't know any better or don't care. Bill?
There was a time once when the FCC protected us from profanity. I don't know if the FCC does anything at all anymore. Or do they even exist anymore?
They exist, but I probably get this fairness doctrine, I hope not, so that everybody's got to be fair and equal time and pretty soon.
Well, before we get this fairness doctrine, the FCC has not done its job
right.
A long time now.
That's right, because they used to have a list of certain things you couldn't say on the air. If you do, something's wrong. But now, that list is extended. They can say a whole bunch of things and still no penalty.
I think the Supreme Court ruled on free speech, haven't
the Supreme Court, I think one was with the flag, it comes under free speech.
Free speech, possibly. So, possibly so. First Amendment, yeah. We're going to stop right here at verse number 7, but have any comments or questions before we close tonight? Here, got to be back to Judah.
He then set the very guide for both brothers.
That's right.
It wasn't the Ur
and Ur and Onan. Is that right?
Well,
yeah.
Ur.
What was the third son's name? Sua? Huh?
Sheila.
Sheila, okay, I had the S right. Sheila. All right. Okay. Sheila. All right, we'll stop right here at verse number 7. But any other comments or questions before we close tonight? All right, if not, I wonder, Brother Quarles, would you close in a word of prayer? If you would, please, sir.
Father God, we just thank you for this time of reading thy word. And
yes.
Thank you for Dr. Wade. And Father God, as we can learn lessons from these minor prophets, that we can look and see at our nation today that we're traveling along the same path.
Yes.
We know unto whom much is given, much is required. And so, Father God, we thank thee, Lord, for this lesson.
Yes.
We pray that you'll answer the prayer requests of those who are sick, traveling yes. mercies, and pray that you'll just bless again. We thank you for bringing Pastor Sister Wade, Dan, and Anna,
yes.
them back together. And so, Father God, we just give you the thanks in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming.